speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Yesterday we introduced our study by noticing that suicide is a major social, moral, and spiritual problem in our nation. That more than 25,000 people commit suicide in America each year. That means that about 55 a day, or every half hour, a person takes his own life. And there are some that suggest that there may be as many as 50,000 cases, because some look like accidents. Some are intentionally disguised, perhaps for insurance purposes. And so suicide is the eighth leading cause of death in America. And among young people, it's the second leading killer of teenagers, only behind accidents, automobile accidents. The word suicide comes from two Latin words, sui, which means oneself, and citium, meaning to intentionally kill. And it's interesting to notice that among studies that have been made, that Protestants are more likely to commit suicide than Catholics, and that Catholics are more likely to commit suicide than Jewish people. And wonder where you and I would fit in. It's for that reason that I believe that we need to do more teaching on the subject of suicide, that we may gain a better understanding of it, that we might keep ourselves from being victims of it. Now, yesterday, by way of review, we pointed out that there are at least seven cases of suicide in the Bible. There was Abimelech in Judges 9, verse 54. There was Samson in Judges 16, verse 30. There was King Saul at 1 Samuel 31, verse 4. And then Saul's armor bearer, verse 5. There was a man by the name of Ahithophel who hung himself in 2 Samuel 17, verse 23. There was a man by the name of Zimri who committed suicide by setting the palace afire and dying in the fire, 1 Kings 16, verse 18. And of course, in Matthew 27, 4 and 5, there was Judas who betrayed his Lord for 30 pieces of silver, who went out and hanged himself. And then in Acts 16, there was the Philippian jailer who was about to commit suicide, thinking that the prisoners had escaped. And Paul cried out to him, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." And there may have been other cases. Now, there are a number of misconceptions. That's also by way of review. It is not true that only a certain class of people commit suicide. We pointed out that the rich, the poor commit suicide. The educated, the illiterate. The high and the low in society. And that no category of men is exempt from it. Another myth is to believe that those who talk about suicide are just wanting to get attention. No, 80% of those who talk about suicide do it. And we need to notice that suicidal tendencies are not inherited. Another myth is that suicide victims are just mentally ill. They didn't realize or know what they were doing. Well, those Japanese kamikaze pilots in World War II knew exactly what they were doing when they flew their planes into American ships. And Hindu women who throw themselves on the funeral pyre of their husband know what they're doing. Well, why do people take their own lives? That's what we were studying when our time ran out yesterday. And just quickly review, medical authorities offer a number of reasons why people commit suicide. And I want to notice these with some insights from the Word of God. Well, number one, some people just cannot cope with the problems, the challenges, the trials of life. And yet the Apostle Paul says Christ was ready to strengthen him. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, Philippians 4, verse 13. Another reason is mental illness. That is the reason some commit suicide. But it may be that some become mentally ill because they didn't guard their hearts and their lives. In Proverbs 4:23, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Or Proverbs 23, verse 7, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And the Apostle Paul suggested whatsoever things are honorable, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Philippians 4, verse 8. And so it's very important that we guard our minds and be guardians of our minds. A third reason some commit suicide is simply loneliness. That they are just so alone, they see no purpose for continuing to live. And yet, in Hebrews 13, verse 5, the Lord has said, I will in no wise fail thee, neither will any wise forsake thee. In Matthew 28, verse 20, the Lord has promised to be with His people who carry out His will, be with you always, even unto the end of the earth. And then shame and guilt have caused many people to take their lives. Yet one of the most guilt-ridden characters of the Bible, King David, after his adultery with Bathsheba, and then having her husband put to death by putting him in a place of battle where he'd lose his life, offered a heartfelt prayer in the 51st Psalm, pouring out his heart to God, begging for forgiveness, seeking to be cleansed and to be right in God's sight again. A failure to reach the standard set by others motivates some people to end their lives. It may be parents and friends that set standards for others that they themselves never reached. And I tell you, friends, that the only standards that any man really needs to worry about reaching are the standards of God. Those are found in the Bible. Because, you see, we will be judged by God's Word. Christ said in John 12, verse 48, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And Christ said in John 8, 38, Two, ye shall know the truth shall make you free. And John 17, 17, he informs us what truth is. Sanctify them through thy truth, he prayed to God. Thy word is truth. So, it's not the standards that others set for us, but God's standard that's found in the Word of God. Now, a sixth reason some people in their life is to take vengeance on another. Yet God informs us in Hebrews 10, verse 30, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith unto the Lord. Yet in spite of this fact, many people try to get revenge on a loved one to get back at them through the ultimate way of bringing heartache, through committing suicide. This is the way they get back at their family or their friends. And then number seven, others commit suicide as a reaction to some tragic calamity in their lives. Many are confronted with the shock of losing a loved one, or losing their job, or losing their health. Yet Job said in Job 1, verse 21, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Job had just lost his family, had lost his wealth, he will later lose his health. And we need to remember that as much as we love our family, we need to love Jesus more. Matthew 10, verse 34 through verse 39. And we will not sustain the earthly relationships with them in the next world, but in heaven they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God. And we need to keep in mind that a man's life does not consist of the things that he possesses. Luke 12, verse 15. We go back to that last part of Job 1, 21, and we hear Job saying, The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, yet blessed be the name of the Lord. And then a last reason that some medical authorities suggest that people commit suicide, they simply lack purpose in life. They have no reason to live, they think. The purpose of man's existence is to fear God and keep His commandments. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. This is the whole duty of man. So we exist to glorify God in all that we do. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. And the final analysis, if your life is not Christ-centered, you will have lived in vain. and the reason for your existence will be utterly worthless. Well, another question that is often raised, what will be the fate of suicide victims? Will they go to heaven? Will they go to hell? Well, certainly I am not God. I do not claim to have all the answers. But I would like to offer these thoughts for your consideration. Someone has observed that if sin has brought the individual to the point where he chooses death over life, there is no hope. Saul and Judas would both be examples of that situation in 1 Samuel 31:4, Matthew 27:4. But if suicide is brought on by physical or mental illness, by physical or mental exhaustion that has no relationship to sin, there may be some hope. Well, you see, Samson's example of life is held up in Hebrews 11, verse 34, verse 32. He's listed in that honor roll of people of faith. And yet we know that in pulling down those pillars of that pagan temple, that temple to Dagon, thus killing himself and a whole host of these Philistines, that if Samson is held up as an example of faith, that there is some encouragement. Well, what is sinful about suicide? And certainly there are some factors that are sinful about it. In Exodus 20, verse 13, and in Romans 13, verse 9, God has said, "Thou shalt not kill." Now, when one kills himself, he's committed a sin of which he cannot repent. Another factor, suicide shows a lack of faith in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Well, suicide shows a lack of faith. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And among those who will be in hell, Revelation 21, verse 8, are the fearful, the unbelieving. Another factor, suicide treats the priceless gift of life as if it were worthless. Yet Genesis 9, verse 6 says that if you kill a person, your life will be taken because man is made in the image of God. Life is precious because it comes from God. Well, I don't have all the answers, but I know that life is precious. There's purpose, there's worth, there's dignity, there's meaning to life, especially when we give our lives to the Lord in obedience to His will. We can do that by believing in Christ, repenting of sins, confessing the name of Christ, being baptized into Christ to become a new creature in Christ. And if we faithfully live for Him, heaven will be our home.